The heat has been unrelenting in many parts of the country this July, a perfect time for a cool, spicy bowl of gazpacho. This cold summer soup tastes best when you make it with freshly picked ingredients. So I walked a few blocks down the street from NPR to an unlikely urban oasis in the middle of a steamy courtyard. We're standing in the garden of the Post Brasserie here in Washington, D.C. with Chef Rob Wayland, and he's going to show us around.
How are you? Thanks for coming.
So tell me some of the things that we have here.
Sure. So our fig tree to the left. Right to the right, we have our heirloom tomato forest. Should be getting some yields probably in the next couple weeks. We actually have a little, some current tomatoes already, which we'll do in the gazpacho this afternoon.
How many varieties of tomatoes do you have here in this tomato forest, as you called it, I think?
it changes from year to year, but this year I think we have about 14 to 16 varieties.
Wow. Why has this kind of garden become so important to cooking now? It's, you know, fresh ingredients.
Yeah, certainly. It's traceability. I mean, it's understanding where your product's coming from. And it's also, there's so many young cooks out there that don't really understand where their food is coming from or what a tomato really looks like on the vine.
Have you always gardened, or is this a new experience for you?
I have done it quite a bit, and I'm from Manhattan, so I used to we used to grow a lot on the rooftops. So I have a little experience in this, urban gardening. But my grandfather really turned me on to this in southern Jersey, the tomato aspect.
Well, can we pick some things from this garden for the gazpacho, which we're going to make shortly?
Of course. Let's see what's ready to go. Got some egg yolk tomatoes right here. They're starting to really pop. Most people may have this thought that tomato leaves are poisonous. They're actually not poisonous at all. So we do garnish the soup with some tomato leaves. Take some African basil and some lime basil.
And now it's time to get out of the sun. Chef Wayland carries his picks down to a basement kitchen and starts feeding them into a blender. He's got some heirloom tomatoes from a local farmer's market to supplement the ones we just picked in the garden.
We have some Brandywine tomatoes here. What's wonderful about this is it's such a simple preparation. And the reason it's so simple is because it basically depends on having wonderful ingredients. And
cucumbers just went in.
Cucumbers just went in. Some diced red onions. Some sweet red bell peppers, some fresh thyme.
Okay, you've got it all in the mixer now?
Yeah. Yep. Just gonna pulse this just a bit, throw in some extra virgin olive oil. And a little fresh pepper.
Wayland pours the soup into a glass bowl over several small, colorful tomatoes and garden herbs. Then he adds what seems like an odd touch.
A little scoop of Dijon mustard ice cream.
Dijon mustard ice cream, wow. I don't think I've ever heard of Dijon mustard ice cream before.
It's not something you would necessarily say would work together, but it's remarkable how it really intensifies the flavor of the tomato.
All right, I'm going to take a taste now. Should I take
it? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Okay. Now, should I just take it with the Dijon?
I would try to swirl it in there. I would recommend that. That's how it's meant to be.
You sort of swirl it around in there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, that is so good. Oh my gosh. And it's so refreshing and cool. It's really delicious.
It's a wonderful thing about the summer. Everything sort of pops.
Chef Rob Wayland of the Post Brasserie, thank you so much. It's really been fun.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming.
You can find Chef Whalen's recipe for gazpacho and Dijon mustard ice cream and see pictures of his garden at npr.org.
It's safe to say that Spain will be celebrating yesterday's World Cup victory for days, with parades, public speeches, and plenty of food. And we wondered, what might they be enjoying at all those celebratory feasts? So we called on someone who's no stranger to our listeners, Chef José Andrés, the host of the PBS series Made in Spain.
What I can tell you, something like will not be on the menu. This may seem like a joke, but after watching this octopus poll, betting that Spain will be the winner, you are going to understand that I don't think anyone is going to be eating octopus anytime soon.
Now, I should explain something. You took octopus off the menu at all your restaurants because of this psychic octopus named Paul.
I began tweeting a few weeks ago, and in the heat of the moment, I tweet, "Hey, Spain beat Germany, I'm taking the octopus out of the menu." And, you know, I didn't realize what I did. And now I have to stick to my word in honor of this creature that selected Spain as the winner.
Oh, as a sign of respect.
My wife,
okay.
Juan, is going to be eating octopus in my restaurant for a while. So it may seem like a joke, but to me it's kind of how nonsense winning a World Cup can be. But in a more serious note, politically, to win this is so amazing because Spain is such a small country, but at the same time we are so many different people and so many different languages. That finally we had kind of something that happened that is uniting.
You know, it's interesting because Spain has for centuries been a bit of a melting pot. But what would people be eating to celebrate this victory?
Well, the menu will have to be the main staples of Spanish cooking that, as you said, celebrate the melting pot of Spain, of Romans, of Jewish, of Arabs, all working together through generations. So, you know, probably gazpacho will be on the menu, the great tomato soup. I will probably serve a very good Rioja wine with the grape Tempranillo, which is the national red grape of Spain. And probably, why not, a paella, but a paella done in the right way, over wood-burning fire.
It sounds delicious, but Jose, do me a favor. Think of that coastal village where you were born and where you grew up. What do you think people would be serving there? Help me understand what a celebration would be like in one of the small villages in Spain.
Where I born is Asturias, the beautiful northern region of Spain, very green, beautiful mountains, beautiful sea. And there people love simple ingredients that somehow pay tribute to the goodness of the earth. So the national dish in Asturias is fabada asturiana. It's a beautiful stew of a bean that is called faves, that you will cook slowly with blood sausage, with chorizo, and with bacon. And drinking, always, sidra asturiana, which in English is cider.
Jose, when they rung you up, I wasn't sure that you were going to have a voice left to talk to us, because I imagine you were screaming at the top of your lungs. But I'm so glad that you saved some of your voice for us. It's been great to talk to you.
I did for you anything, and I can tell you I was crying like a little kid for so long. So between crying and the boys, anyway, if I lose the boys, we'll be good. But I'm happy I had boys left for you.
That's Jose Andreas. He's the host of the PBS series Made in Spain, and he runs several restaurants in Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. He spoke to us from the airport in Johannesburg.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.